same Jesus which has taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Here in this reading that we just looked at this morning, we find Luke's account of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ out of this world into the glorious eternal heaven. We find that as these men are standing there, the Lord is giving them final instructions, final encouragement. And then, just suddenly, as he finishes speaking to them, letting them know that they would receive power, which happens in Acts chapter 2, and just a few days later on the day of Pentecost. After he has told them that the power of the highest will come upon them, then the Lord Jesus Christ just began to go up out of their sight. And so they looked steadfastly. They, of course, appeared in the clouds and wondered, and of course, certainly had to be just astonished and amazed, and in some ways had to be unbelievable to watch as Jesus Christ just suddenly began to ascend by his own power and the power of the highest out of this world into the world to come. Of course, as they're beholding that event, we find that two angels just come together, or two men, it says here, and it says they were in white apparel, and they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The Lord of blessings this morning, I'd like to look at the subject of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that in all my years of preaching, I've ever preached specifically on this topic. I've mentioned it, of course, many times in preaching, but I've never taken it for a topic completely to itself. Last week, we celebrated Easter Sunday, which is the day we recognize the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate that. The Bible teaches us here in the book of Acts chapter 1 that after the Lord Jesus rose from the grave, that he showed himself alive after his passion, meaning his suffering, by many infallible proofs. That means it was unquestionable that the Lord Jesus Christ had died, but he also rose from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights. It says he was seen to them for 40 days, and he spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So those 40 days between the resurrection of the Lord and the ascension of the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ spent a lot of time with his disciples, just like he did in the time that he called them to follow after him. The Lord had taught them and instructed them along the way. We can see in Matthew chapter 5 where he called down the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Over there, the Lord instructed his apostles. He instructed them through parables and through by very clear teaching. Over and over, the Lord's business was to teach and to make disciples, being followers and learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in this last 40 days that Jesus has spent here upon the earth after his resurrection, he still was speaking to the disciples about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I love that the apostles had recorded those conversations in that 40-day period. Now, the Holy Ghost didn't see fit for us to have that, so I suspect that what we have recorded in the rest of the gospel accounts and what the apostles would later teach is sufficient knowledge about the kingdom of God. The Lord, I'm sure, didn't teach him anything different than what he taught prior to his death and what the apostles would teach us through their writings. But anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spends 40 precious days with the apostles, instructing them and encouraging them. And then we find here in the ninth verse, as he was speaking these things while they fell, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. I'd like to look at six aspects of the ascension of the Lord Jesus and the Lord bless us today. I don't know if we're trying to get all six, but I want to first of all have his glorification and then his coronation and the consolation that it brings. And if I know that there's intercession, and for the child of God, there's jubilation. And lastly, for the child of God, there's great anticipation. Those are all things that we can see in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we see that he was glorified. And when the apostles are with him for those 40 days, I don't get an understanding of that he was standing before them in a way much different than before his crucifixion. But about a transfiguration, as we find in Matthew 17 and Mark 9 and Luke 9, the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly was changed before them. In Matthew, the kind of says his face is shining as the sun. In Mark and Luke, the kind of says even his raiment was so warm.
saw him there. They saw him in his glorified state. And as we see him on the last day when he appeared the second time without sin and salvation. But for this 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord is with the apostles, we don't get the sense that he starts standing before him in that transfigured state where his face is shining like the sun. But as the Lord Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, he assumes his glory once again. In fact, in John chapter 17, as the Lord Jesus Christ is there praying, he is high priest of prayer before him, he came to be Calvary to suffer and to die. He thanks God as he begins in that prayer in John chapter 17, verse 1. He says these words, thank Jesus, and lifted up his eyes in heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, certainly Christ was glorifying and empowered by God to endure the pain of the cross. But notice verse 5. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thy me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I believe that he's talking about his ascension back into heaven. And he says, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This verse, I believe, testifies clearly the eternal nature of the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here praying to his Father, sanctifies clearly that before this world was, he existed. And before this world was, he had a glory with his Father in heaven before he came into this world. Now, certainly, he came to this world. We find that in a sense, he veiled his glory. And many people in this world were not able to behold it. Only three individuals were able to see it throughout his time here on earth. And I've already talked about that on the matter of transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were taken by Christ there up in that mountain, and he was transfigured before their sight. And now, here the Lord Jesus Christ, he prays to his Father. He says, now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You recall there in Luke chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he's probably got a room with two individuals who are on their way to Emmaus. And as they're going to Emmaus, they're very sad as they talk along the way. Contemplating all the things that have been transpiring. Here they were, followers of Jesus, people who had trusted in Jesus, believed in Jesus, hoped in Jesus, and now that Jesus has been with him, has been dead and buried, and now his tomb is empty, and they don't know where he's at. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he joins himself in his company and spirits on a journey along the way. The Bible lets us know that he was there in such a way they could not know who he was. Much like Mary received that him at the tomb, he fell on his ass because she didn't know it was him. And so he said, Mary, and she said, Rabbi, our master, here though, on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ joins himself in his tomb here. And in Luke chapter 24, it says, he said unto them, O fools, after they complained about the one in the question had been hidden, he's gone now, he's not here in our presence. He said, O fools, and so I believe all that the prophet has heard, because ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? The Lord Jesus Christ, he did full well what he was going himself. They would not come. He knew the suffering he would do. They also knew the great blessing that would accomplish. They also knew the great glory that he would have once it was over. Lightning chapter 2 would find that God, because of his suffering, he had endured at Calvary. And the great redemption that he brought for his people, he gave him a name above every name. And that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and every tongue confess that things in earth, on earth, and also things in heaven, all creation at some point when Jesus comes back, will bow in submission under the glorified Jesus Christ, and they will confess in his glory, that he is Lord, and the glory of God our Father. So here we see Jesus, he says, glorify thou me with thine own self, and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I can't wait for the day when I'm able with these eyes to see that glory, and I trust that it will be with these eyes. I do understand, even though this inward is destroyed, yet in my flesh will I see my thin eyes shall be full from my God, of myself, and I shall see not another, though my veins be consumed within me. I turn that all creates. That he was going to be the glorified Christ at his second coming at the last day of this world. The very first thing we see in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is his glorification. He's going back to the place that he left. He was gone from there for about 33 and a half years. Before he came to this world, he, of course, is the eternal Son of God. He Thank you.
that morning it went up, he said, "He shall see come again." And like never. Immediately upon the ascension of Christ, the promise was given to the disciples of Christ that the very same Jesus that they saw go up would come again the second time. And that is an anticipation of the desire and the joy and the heart of the child of God. In Hebrews 9, chapter verse 27, we find the Apostle Paul says, "And there is no pleasure in the pleasure of a plan of men wanting to die." He says, "But after this, it was just the fact is that Jesus doesn't come back. Every human being has an appointment with death. they were looking for. We have a second guy who believes to experience it. Oh, what is that? Well, let's look for it. He signals the guy north. He says, here's the proof of it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's taught us that we're denying dominance and worldly lust, and we're living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for. That means while I'm living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, I'm to be looking for something. Son of the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world at your command. And he did those things always that pleased you. And after he accomplished all that you sent him here to do, and did so to complete perfection, you received him back into glory joyfully. And rejoicing broke out in heaven. What a day that must have been to behold. As those saints that were there already in the angelic host, even God our Father and the Holy Spirit joy to see the Son of God come back victorious and take his rightful seat at the right hand of God. And what a comfort it is to know today that we have a Savior in glory, who is glorified, who is the King of Kings, who is heavenly comfort who steps in our behalf, who's given us grace.